Thank you, Father, for a night like this. A day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in. We worship you. We honor you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hands. Shake two hands around you. Welcome them to the presence of the Lord. Welcome everyone here to this third day of the fast. And I believe, and it's also midweek service, I believe the Lord will perfect his plan for our lives today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, all the way to verse 13. He said, after this manner therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts or our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. This evening, I'd like to quickly speak on the prayer altar. The prayer altar. Our objective is to understand the prayer altar. That is, understanding what we try to achieve at the altar of prayer. What are we endeavoring to achieve? What are we expecting to see? This is very important because for many people, prayer is a meaningless religious ritual, meaningless religious activity. There are some religions where just I've said my prayers. I just said my prayers. The phrase. For other people, prayer is something to do to pacify the conscience, so that it doesn't look like I'm not spiritual. I'm not talking to God at all. And yet for others, a third group, prayer is what to do in times of urgencies, in times of emergencies, in times of pressure. But for all of these reasons mentioned, the result of prayer is very minimal, if any. Because for most of them, the prayer is prayed without expectation. Except the one of rushing to God in urgent times. Pray without expectation. When it's done as a religious ritual, it's prayed without expectation. When it's done to pacify the conscience, it's prayed without expectation. And truth of the matter is, there can be no experience where there has been no expectation. What we expect determines what we experience. Having said all of that, what are we trying to achieve at the prayer altar? What do we endeavor to achieve at the place of prayer? Number one, the servicing, or rather, this is what we do at prayer. Number one, servicing our altar of relationship with God. At the place of prayer, we service our altar of relationship with God. It is the place for the maintenance of vibrant, buoyant, and lively relationship with God. That is the first and the most important aim of prayer. When you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Father, our Father. The servicing of our prayer altar. You know, the spiritual controls the natural. Until the spiritual is in order, the natural will be in disorder. So we service our altar of relationship. You know, there are many people who want result where there has been no relationship. They want result where there has been no relationship. If my wife asks me for something easy, my children ask easy. But if I see a total stranger on the road trying to ask me for something, I have to investigate him. Who are you? What do you want? Are you a fraud? Are you a crook? Relationship is the basis of request. The more vibrant the relationship, the more confident the request. When the relationship is strong, the request is cheap. There are many people trying to ask a God they are not in talking terms with for things. That they are not in talking terms with him. They only come to him when there is an issue. If God does not hear your voice in times of peace, he may not respond to it in times of crisis. That is, he doesn't hear your voice. He doesn't recognize your voice in times of peace. He may not respond to that voice in times of crisis. So the next time prayer comes to your mind, the first thing that should come to your mind is the servicing of your altar of relationship with God. So the major bulk of prayer is prayer where you come, you didn't ask for anything. It's prayer where you come, where you came to know God and God knows you. It's a prayer where you are servicing your intimacy with God, servicing your relationship with God. That's our number one assignment. Prophet of prayer, servicing our altar of relationship with God. Beloved brothers and sisters, for some of us, the major bulk of our prayer is number one. Fasting for 7 days, not to ask for anything, but just to be tighter with God. There's something we call a consecrational fast, once a week, twice a week. You are not there to ask for anything. You are just tightening up your grip on God. Servicing our altar of relationship with God, number one. Number two is enforcing the plan and will of God for our lives and in the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's Matthew 6:10. The place of prayer is the place where is the place where you come to access the will of God for your life. Lord, what is your plan for my life? What do you want me to do with my life? What is your plan for our nation? So it's the place to access and enforce. That's what Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 said. I will stand upon my watch and I will watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. This is very exciting. Prayer is not a place where you necessarily bring your own plans and ask God to stamp it. There are many people who bring their plans to God for a stamping. They bring their agenda for God to stamp it. They want God to cooperate with them in what is not his will. Lord, I must do real estate business. He said, no. What I have in mind for you is something else. Maybe it's agriculture. Say, what? Agriculture like how? I should be a farmer. He said, there are billionaire farmers on earth. Billionaire farmers on earth. He said, I don't understand. Lord, bless this real estate business. I must start. Is this not Abuja? Experience massive frustration because God will never bless what he didn't plan. Listen, the will of God is answered prayer that is waiting to be prayed. When we say this is the will of God, it means this is what God wants and is looking for somebody to pray it to happen. So at the place of prayer, so this is very exciting. The place of prayer is not necessarily where you go and push things on God. It's where you go and find out, discover what are you saying? What are your plans for my life? What do you want? What do you want me to do with my life? As we travel around the world in ministration, the Lord made it clear to me that more important than anything else is to reconnect the people to himself. Is to kindle in them the fire of passion after their maker. It's heavier than even healing and miracles. The healing, the miracles will flow effortlessly. 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 Let me say this as I move to the next point. So the place of prayer, you service your altar of relationship with God. At the place of prayer, let's say accessing and enforcing. You access and enforce the plan, the will of God for your life and in the earth. Let me say this. No matter how beautiful your plans are, they will never be as wonderful as the plans of God. The plan of man may appear beautiful, but it is the plan of God that is absolutely wonderful. Yours may look beautiful to you, but it is wonderful only when it is the plan of God. It is full of wonders, amazement. You can give yourself a beautiful wife with your eyes, but you need a wonderful marriage. Let God lead you, guide you. Not necessarily that he will give you any ugly, because nobody is ugly in God anyway. He made all things beautiful. Let me say this finally as I move. The greatest level of success on earth is achieving what God wants you to achieve with your life. The greatest level of success is not how much money you have in the bank. It's not how many places you have traveled with in the world. It is achieving what God wants you to accomplish with your life. At And that is why it is very, very important. Lord, I am not trying to become anything. I just want to become what you want me to become. I just want to accomplish what you want me to accomplish. I just want to reach where you want me to reach. What you are not giving me, may I not have it. Where you are not taking me, may I not go there. What you are not doing for me, may it never be done. Pray such dangerous prayer. May no money enter my hands that God has not given me. That is number two. You can see that prayer is a bit different from what people think. Many people do many things, but these things we are talking about now. Number three, what are we doing at a place of prayer? Renewing our consecration and sanctification in God. At the place of prayer, we renew our consecration. We renew our sanctification. Because as we journey through life, we encounter temptations. We encounter distractions. As you travel the journey of life, dust settle. Dust on the garment, our spiritual garment. We come into his presence like the disciples where he washed their feet. We come into his presence for a cleansing. We come into his presence to ask for help and mercy. First, where we have erred, and help and mercy to do the right things. That was where what he meant, forgive us our debts. That's prayer altar. Forgive me, forgive us our debts as we forgive those we are indebted to. Forgive me my trespasses. Teach me how to live in uprightness and teach me how to walk in love. That is why prayer will keep you from sin and sin will keep you from praying. The life of prayer. How many of you have seen unbelievers in church before? When it is time to worship or time to sing, they are lost. They are just moping and wondering what are they doing. Because it's not in his nature. His lifestyle makes the presence of God strange. It's an altar of consecration. The place of prayer is our return back to Bethel. Where the things you told God to help you not to do, you come to reaffirm. Where the help and the grace you are asking for, you come to reaffirm that the help and the grace so that you can continue on your journey. Somebody say a loud amen. That is why if you are fasting 3 days dry or 3 days or 7 days once in a month or 21 years ago, don't think that you can stop that kind of exercise today and see the results of yesterday. It's a continuous journey. And so the place of prayer is where we come to. So you can see that it is not a place of permanent begging for things. It's more like a place of spiritual servicing, a workshop. A spiritual workshop for the servicing of our lives. Number four is what most people think it is. That is number four, is the place for accessing our supplies and allocation in God. Naturally, this should have been number three, but I don't know how the Holy Ghost positioned it in number four in this station. I'm sure it's like other priorities. The place of accessing our supplies and allocation in God. Give us this day our daily bread. I know you have a bread for me daily. I know you have a supply for me daily. I have come to connect it. Beloved, understand that God is a great father, a great provider. He will never allow his own to be stranded or despised. Great father, great provider. And there is something I'll tell you. Two things I will say to you, you will not forget. One, the Bible said don't pray like the heathen pray and make vain repetitions. For your heavenly Father knoweth the things you have need of before you ask. If he knows what we need before we ask, then what is the aim of the asking? Simple. First, he does not want to assume your needs. He wants to confirm your needs. You confirm it with your mouth. Secondly, he enjoys being depended upon by his children. He wants to deliver us from the plague of self-sufficiency, self-dependency, the plague of independence of God. That was what troubled Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When the serpent told them, you can be like God, you don't need God in your life. God enjoys, it's just like, my children come and say, Daddy, please, I read this passage, can you interpret it for me? I remember one of my children, very young in those days, like 3 or 4 years, he said, Daddy, who planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I said, it is God. Who said they should not eat it? It is God. If he doesn't want them to eat it, why did he plant it? How many of you know that? That is a very tricky question. Very, very, very tricky. And the Holy Ghost gave me the answer on the spot. I said, God wants to use something to test their obedience. If there is nothing to show whether they can obey God or disobey God on their own will, it means they will only be obeying God by force. There is something that needs to show whether if they have a choice, they will obey or disobey. And once they had the choice, they disobeyed. It's okay. Daddy, wake me up by 3 a.m. Oh, I will do it for you gladly. Parents want to be dependent. God is a typical parent. He wants to be depended upon. Lord, your word said this, and I receive it off your hands. Another thing to note before we leave that point is, there is no delivery without demands in the world of the spirit. Where the demand is not made, the delivery is not confirmed. Also know that in this life, we don't necessarily get what we deserve. There are many things many people desire that they don't get. We get what we demand. We don't necessarily get what we deserve because we have a demonic power that is fighting it. You get what you demand. So the place of prayer is the place to place the demand on what God has freely given to you that maybe the enemy is trying to interfere with. It's a place to place the demand. It's a place to access your portion and to access your allocation. Somebody say a loud amen. Finally, what are we endeavoring to do at the prayer altar? It is fifth, intercepting and frustrating the agenda and activities of the enemy. Intercepting and frustrating the agenda and the activities of the enemy in our lives and land. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Is a place to interrupt, intercept the activity of the devil. Is a place to interfere with what the enemy is planning what the enemy is doing. Somebody say a loud amen. The place of prayer is the place of preemptive attacks on the camp of darkness. The place of prayer is a place where we remain on the offensive, not the defensive. Not waiting for the devil to strike, then you respond. No. It's the place where while they are in the planning session, you bomb them. You bomb both them and their bomb manufacturing factory. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. I remember the prayer we prayed when they said there was a lot of flood in Kenya and our crusade was going to be 2 weeks to the time this was still flooding, and the forecast that flooding was going to continue almost, you know, and it just kept on. And we stood in agreement with them over there and here and everywhere, agreed from the commanded day midnight prayer. Said, rain is a blessing, not a curse. Hundreds had already died by the flood. The Bible made it clear that rain is a blessing, not a curse. This one that is becoming a curse, can't be of God. We declare it arrested. And the cloud checked. When we landed at Nairobi Airport, the woman who received us at the airport staff, she said, thank you for praying for our country. He said, the sky has been clear for almost 2 weeks now. Hallelujah. And then, prayed Sunday night, hurricane commenced in Texas, Houston. And before he could have the power to stretch his hand and relaxed, we prayed here on Monday evening. Monday evening by 6 p.m. will be equal to 12 in the afternoon there. So he started in the evening of Sunday. Before he could reach midday of the next day, it was already confronted. Arrested by the power of God. Light went out. Everywhere. Under 1 hour, light had started being restored. The sun came out. Somebody sent me a message from Texas. They say, the relation was saying that this hurricane in this place behave as if it has bipolar disorder. That just now they saw the no sun, the sky was covered, the floods were, the wind was terrible, the roads were deserted, everybody was warned to remain inside, and then under 1 hour sun came out. Intercepting the agenda. In your life tonight, the agenda of the devil shall be intercepted. Whatever the devil is planning for the second half of the year, for your life and for your family, today they are scattered. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. This number 5 is what we are dealing with tonight. That's what we are anchoring on tonight. We are intercepting, interfering, interrupting the agenda of the enemy for the balance of the year. Somebody say amen. Finally, before we start praying, how do we pray? Number one, you pray with light, this kind of light and revelation. Psalm 43 and in verse 3, the Bible said, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill. And to thy tabernacles. We pray with light, revelation, insight, knowing that our prayer is servicing our altar with God. Our prayer is establishing the plan of God and arresting the plan of the enemy, renewing our consecration, connecting us with our portion in God, and intercepting the agenda of the enemy. You pray with light. Number 2, you pray with faith. He that cometh to God must believe. I'm not wasting my time. I am not doing religion here. This is reality. God is a prayer answering God. There are too many testimonies to confirm. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. We believe that God is. We believe that God is a rewarder. Of the brother Endurance, whose testimony we took yesterday, the university medical student, his classmate confirmed on one of these in message he sent this afternoon that the testimony of the guy is real. Intracranial hemorrhage, on a wheelchair, movement affected, everything affected. Power of God landed on him. I'm sure we have the clips of that. And he was on his feet. That same God is going to visit somebody here today. I see somebody's spiritual life moving to the next level. That's the young man right there. And that's him after the prayer sessions. And then he has a video where he's dancing. I prophesy to you today. Today. The plan of God and the will of God for your life shall be made available. It shall be made clear to you. I prophesy today. Help to live right. Help to fulfill the purpose of God. Help to do the will of God. It's released upon you in the name of Jesus. I prophesy supernatural supplies. Your portion in God, no devil shall tamper with it. And I declare interception, interruption with the agenda of hell for this second half of the year. Stand up on your feet and lift up your hands and let's begin to appreciate God. Let's begin to appreciate. That's the young man dancing right there. Let's begin to appreciate God. Honor him. Adore him. Worship him. Let's go. Honor him. Adore him. Worship him. Lift your voice. Appreciate him. Lift your voice. Appreciate him. Honor him. Father, we give you the praise.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
Hosea chapter 6 verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Say hallelujah. Pray this prayer. Say, Father,
thank you
for the gift of life
and breath.
Thank you
for
this third day
of the fast.
Thank you for raising us up on this third day. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Again, say, Father,
thank you
for the gift of life
and breath.
Thank you for this third day
of the fast.
Thank you
for
raising us up on this third day. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, pray that prayer. Let the Tarakalias, in the Palananadias, let the Tarakalas, in 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 the Tarakalas, let us set up the bear. He could pack a ratania. Let us set up the bear. 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 Father, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for this third day of the fast. Thank you for raising us up on this third day. And little paradise, the little light la 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 Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are too faithful to fail. You are too dependable to deceive us. You are too reliable to reverse your promises to us as a commission, as a people in this season.
Colossians 2, verse 14 and verse 15. Blotting out a handwriting of ordinances.
Can we all read together, please? Everybody. And shall we read all the passages together? One, to go.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances
that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over the enemy.
Hallelujah. Amen. Seventy says, "Father,
Father,
I take authority, over every evil handwriting of negativity against my life. The second half of the year, I declare them,
pulled
out by the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, I take authority over every evil handwriting of negativity against my life in the second half of the year. I declare them, pulled out by the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Open with a prayer. I put authority over every evil handwriting of negativity against my life. In the middle of the years,
mighty name we are praying. Taking it further, Psalm 124 from verse 1 to the end. The Bible says, let's read together please. One to go. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us quick, then they ran to the kingdom against us. Then the waters would have swallowed us. Then the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud water had gone over our soul. Then the blessing of the Lord, who has not given us as a prey to their feet. Our soul is escaped as a bear out of the snare of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and the earth.
Hallelujah!
Lift up your voice and say after me. Say, Father,
Father,
I ask that every demonic trap or snare set up for me in this second half of the year be destroyed by the fire of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, say, Father, I ask that every demonic trap or snare set up for me, set for me in this second half of the year be destroyed. By the fire of your spirit, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, somebody pray.
But I might through God to put in the down from holes. Cast down your imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself in the name of God. And bring the angel into captivity every thought to the will of God. And having in readiness to prevent all the difficulties where your obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Say, Father. Say, Father. Cast down every imagination and pull down every stronghold standing against your purpose for my life in 700 years. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, say, Father, I cast down every imagination and pull down every stronghold standing against your purpose for my life. out of the air. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, somebody pray. Lord, I cast out every imagination and I pull out every soul that is against your purpose for my life in this coming year.
We are praying.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 26:27 and Isaiah 54:17. One to go. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone shall return upon him.
That's right.
One to go. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness of me, amen. Lift up your voice and say,
Father,
I ask that every evil plot,
plan,
or device,
of
the wicked,
program
against my life,
against my life,
destiny,
in
this second half of the year,
fire
to send us.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus, again,
Father,
I ask
that
every evil plot,
every evil plan,
or device
of the wicked.
Program against my life,
against my life,
destiny.
In the second half
of the year.
Fire,
send us,
Jesus. Yeah.
Christ.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 11. Jeremiah 20, 11. Hey. Let's read together.
But the Lord is with me as a mighty one.
Therefore my persecution shall stumble.
They shall not prevail. They shall be ashamed. But they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be caused.
Hey!
Voice and pray. Say, Father,
but the Lord
is with me as a mighty terrible one.
Therefore,
my persecutors
and distractors
shall stumble, and they shall not prevail.
They shall be greatly ashamed,
but they shall not prosper.
Their everlasting
confusion
and frustration
shall never be forgotten. Father,
In this season.
Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray.
With your hands and give him the praise and the honor. If you feel that fire in that prayer, you shall see their confusion. You shall see their frustration.
Amen.
And they shall look for you tonight.